Hello, everybody. Good evening. And welcome. Everyone should take their seats. We'll give you 30 seconds or a minute to take your seats. I won't hum or anything. Well, good evening. My name is Jeff, and I'm a compulsive overeater. That sounds so great. I've been honored with the task of being your 2011 birthday party chair. Thank you. If you're still clapping Sunday, I will take that as a compliment. On behalf of the Los Angeles Intergroup of Overeaters Anonymous and the 2011 Birthday Party Committee, I would like to welcome you all to the 51st Annual Birthday Party Celebration of Overeaters Anonymous, Touchdown to Recovery. Now, we all know it's an amazing program of recovery and serenity, or I would not have gotten through this last few weeks, which has saved countless lives, including mine. So before we get started, I would like to introduce the de facto co-chair, without whom none of what you see here tonight would have happened. She is an amazing and selfless woman. It's written here, but I don't need to read it because I know that to be true. Please join me in thanking and welcoming Shari.
Hi, my name is Shari. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Shari.
And your 2011 birthday party co-chair. We gather together. We gather together in celebration this weekend to honor our own individual recovery as well as to share in the unity of spirit amongst us, amongst our fellows, so that we can continue to carry the message to those who still suffer.
Will all those who wish to please rise, stand please, and join me in the Serenity Prayer. I'm not a judge. That's not why I said please rise. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And while we are still standing, we are blessed that there's a fellowship, there's many, many years of abstinence among us. And in order to honor just how much recovery is in the room, will everyone in his or her first 30 days of abstinence please take a seat now? And Gaddy, could I have a little more house lights on this, please? Anybody 30 days to 1 year, please take a seat. 2 years to 5 years? I'm sorry, 1 year to 2 years also, you can go. 2 years to 5 years, we said 5 years to 10 years. There's a lot of people still standing. 10 years to 15 years, you can have a seat now, please. Did I say 15 to 20? At 15 to 20, as marvelous as you are, have a seat. We still have people standing? We do. Lots of people still standing. 15 to 20, I said. 20 to 25 years, please have a seat. It's amazing how many people are still standing. 25 to 30 years, you can have a seat. I still see a few people standing up. 30 to 40 years. Amazing, guys. Have a seat. Is there anybody left?
No.
Nobody left. I guess she stayed home tonight, the 440-year gal. Now I'd like to introduce an amazing group of people who have worked tirelessly to ensure that this will be a terrific celebration of our program and our recovery. Will each of the committee members please stand as your name is called? And remain standing until everyone is called. And we ask you, although we know you love each and every one of them, if you could just hold your applause till the end, we would appreciate that. Ancillary items and prize drawings, and someone who had tremendous shoes to fill from his wonderful stewardship of last year, Christian R. There he is. Sherry also handled art and design. Jerry G. You can hold if you don't mind, because we want to get out of here sometime tonight. Jerry G. is our assistant chair. Jerry, you out there? There he is. Dinner and entertainment are Daphne and Eileen. Daphne and Eileen. Keep standing, everybody. Keep standing. Friday night entertainment is Pia, who I think we'll find over there. Hospitality is Maricela and Allie. Allie's also helping with the literature. Logistics, Nathan, invaluable to our event. Luncheon, Ellie and Sean. Marathon meetings, Lola and Hope. Meditation is Carla. Morning walks is Molly. Panels are Valerie and Johanna. Publicity and website and interfacing with the hotel and making sure we all have a place to stay is John Kay, who has been a big help to all of us. Patty has been our registration chair and done a wonderful job. Lucy helped Patty with the registration volunteers, tirelessly seeking out people. Ramey's been our secretary. Don S., who is outside counting the money as our treasurer, is going to stay outside and guard the money. Victor D. has been our volunteer chair. And workshops for Arlene G. and Chris B. So, and of course, let's not forget Sherry, our co-chair. So give everyone a big round of applause. It is now my pleasure to introduce Victor Q., the chair of the Los Angeles Intergroup, and he's here to say a few words.
As has been said before, we welcome everybody here. And what I would like to do, if I can actually not be blinded, is ask for the hands of everybody who's from Southern California. Just raise your hand. And if you'd raise your hand from Northern California, by any chance. We have a few there as well, too. If you could also raise your hand if you're somewhere from outside of the California area, if you're from, let's say, I'll tell you what, if you'll just take a moment and quickly let us know, or is there anybody from the Western United States other than California? And you're from? Very good. Any other areas as well, too? Arizona. Seattle. Very good. Portland's one of my favorite places, yes. Texas. In the Southwest. If I've missed it, oh, one more over here. Boise, Idaho. And over on the left. Canada. Very good. Welcome. How many people do we have? Oh, somebody would grab another one over this way, yes. Very good. And that brings us to the East Coast. Any place, anybody else that we have here that's not from there? We see one person over there. Massachusetts. I think I met Heidi earlier. And anyone from outside the continental United States by any chance? I'm sorry, we'll continue with East Coasters. What do we have? What do we have?
Edmonton, Alberta.
Edmonton, Alberta. You can meet up with a fellow Canadian afterwards. There you go. Yes.
Calgary.
Calgary. Okay. Very good. Anybody else over this way? One over there.
Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Minneapolis. Nice place to be. I'm sure you're missing being in Minneapolis right now. Yes.
Yeah.
Illinois. Very good. And anyone else?
Oh,
okay.
Long Island, New York.
Very good. And do we happen to have anybody outside the continental United States here today? I'm sorry, go ahead. If I missed you, but please raise your hand. Go ahead, yes. And anybody else that I might have missed from outside the area at all? Everybody's covered. Once again, thank you very much for coming tonight, and I'd like to take just a quick moment, if I may, to introduce the other board members of the Intergroup. I know here tonight is Jeff, who just recently joined us, obviously, with a birthday party this year. He's done a fine job. Also, Nick R. Nick, if you could stand up. There he is. He's our new workshop education chairperson, and I'm sure if you have some ideas, he'd love to see you after the meeting. Also, we have Laura J., who is now in charge of our young people. Ellie G., the 12-step within. Jessica with publications. And our treasurer, unfortunately, is having to take care of a dad who broke his hip, so he's not going to be able to be here tonight, who is Royce. So once again, thank you very much for attending from as far away as you came, or the 10 minutes that it took me to drive here. And we hope you have a wonderful, nurturing recovery experience here on the weekend for the 51st birthday of Overeaters Anonymous. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Victor. It is, oh no, this is your turn, I'm sorry.
Before we get too deep into our evening, Elizabeth and friends would like to...
Actually, David also. David and friends, I was told too. I didn't.
David and friends.
Right.
Would like to deliver a message regarding the Region 2 convention this July, which will be right here in Los Angeles.
Oh my gosh. Hi, I'm David, a compulsive overeater. And I'm also chair of the Region 2 Convention 2011. And it's going to be right down the street. It's at the LAX Marriott. It's the place where the birthday was last year. It's going to be July 8th through 10th, so you only have 5 more months to have a wonderful weekend like you're going to have this weekend. And I'm so glad for the birthday for helping support us. Region 2, for whoever doesn't know, is OA in California, Hawaii, Mexico, and Northern Sierra Nevada. And so it encompasses a big part. It's one of the largest regions of Overeaters Anonymous. And we're going to have a convention that's going to be filled with fun, recovery, and fellowship from all over this region, the country, and visitors, just like this weekend. And so we're going to have a play on Friday night. We're going to have Cafe OA. We're going to have marathons, workshops, a lot of fun. We're going to have a dinner dance with entertainment. So it's going to be another wonderful weekend. So if you're having a good time this weekend, just remember it's 5 more months. We have some people here that just, I can tell you all about how wonderful it's going to be and how great, but we have some people that are going to show you how great it's going to be. So.
So, as David said, there's so many wonderful things that are going to be in July at this convention, and one of the things is a play on Friday night. And just to give you a little snippet of what you'll see and hear, we're going to share a little something with you. And in the story of our play, the sponsor tells the newcomer about the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous, like this. Let's start at the very beginning, a very good place to start. When you read, you begin with
A, B, C.
With the steps, you begin with 1, 2, 3.
1, 2, 3.
1, 2, 3. The first 3 steps just happen to be 1, 2, 3.
1, 2,
very
3.
Good. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Let's take it one step at a time. La, 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 one.
Admit we're powerless. 2 and 3 trust in HP. 4 and 5 we write and share. 6 and 7 set us free. 8 and 9 we right our wrongs. 10, a check-in every day. 11, ask God to come along. And in 12, give it away. Away.
So come play with us in July. Happy birthday, Overeaters Anonymous.
And just so everybody knows, these are a big chunk of the committee. We'll be here all weekend. So if you see people wearing the Region 2 convention shirt, or you saw them up here, and you have questions, or you want to volunteer, come ask. Thank you.
Happy birthday, everybody.
Thanks, David. Okay, well, I'm not going to try and compete with that. So I will turn it over to, where are we? I'm going to turn it over to Sherry.
If we continue to work together in unity, wrote Roseanne S., we will fulfill the miraculous promise of the 12 steps. After all, it was our similarities and not our differences that brought us into the healing rooms of Overeaters Anonymous. It will be that common need that helps us to fulfill our hearts yearning for recovery from the bondage of compulsive overeating.
I put my hand in yours.
And together we can do what we could never do alone.
No longer is there a sense of hopelessness.
No longer must we each depend on our own unsteady willpower.
We are all together now,
reaching out our hands for power and strength greater than ours.
And as we join hands, we find love and understanding
beyond our wildest dreams.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Jerry. That was a cameo by Jerry F. I'd like to take a moment to recognize the Fellowship of Overeaters Anonymous, the Fellowship of Overeaters Anonymous is an outgrowth of a chance meeting between two young women in Los Angeles during the first week of January 1960. That is 51 years of love, acceptance, spirituality, and recovery. And while she couldn't join us this evening, I'd like to take this time for all of us to recognize the founder of our program, Roseanne. So let's give her a round of applause she can hear in her home. Before we get started, there's just one or two housekeeping items to deal with. There are a limited, and we do mean limited, number of lunches and dinners available for tomorrow. If you'd like to join us for food and fellowship, please see the registration folks on your way out of here tonight. Don't bail now. There's too much good stuff coming. But on your way out, see the registration folks. I want to remind everyone that there's a raffle, a 50-50 drawing and a prize drawing where you drop your ticket in front of the various prizes, including a 52-inch high-def plasma, an iPad, and all sorts of other great stuff. Also, we have a little souvenir for sale. This is a book, it says Touchdown for Recovery, Always 51st Birthday, lovely pages, pen, and a place for a pen. So if you want to grab one on your way out tonight, you can have it for taking notes, exchanging numbers, all that sort of stuff. Also available at Christian's prize table right across the way. So we wanted to point that out to you. And now, if we will, with no further ado, please put your hands together for the opening speaker of Overeaters Anonymous' 51st birthday party. He's a wonderful human being who I am proud to call a friend and a fellow. Welcome, Ben.
Well, good evening, everybody. How you doing? You know, if you don't mind, let's turn up the house lights so I can see everybody here, because the spotlight is just like, all I want to do is this. Okay. See if that comes out. Well, just to qualify for everybody here, I've been in program now 16 years, and as of, 4 days ago, I'm celebrating my five-year anniversary of being abstinent. So, what an incredible gift to be asked to be your speaker for this evening. And when I came in this room, okay, let's get this going here. One sec. Okay, I'm going to go Amish. All right, so to qualify, when I came in this room, I weighed 400 pounds. And today I weigh 185. And very, very surreal to be here and to, because I never thought, like 16 years ago, thank you for being of service.
There we go.
Thanks. So let me just show you, I was going through my closet, cleaning out my closet, donated 20 hefty bags of clothes that don't fit me anymore. And I came across these pants. And this is what I wore when I first came in these rooms.
Okay. That was me. You believe that? Half of me today.
Blows me away. I remember showing that to my wife. She used to like get in them, and I got in them. And I was actually able to put two legs in one size. I never thought I'd be this weight, look this way ever. And that's one of the gifts of the program. But it's because of many things. I kept coming back, being of service, and not believing my own press, and working with a sponsor. Sponsors save our ass on a daily basis. And before I go on and continue, there's a special person in this room I want to give a really big thank you to. And she's one of the reasons why I stay abstinent and why I'm alive today. Is my wife in this room? Kid, where are you? Stand up. This is for you, honey. I would have been really scared if five women stood up right now. I was like, okay, 1, 2, 3, 4. Annie's Mormon. Hey, right on. So thank you for everything. OA couple. We are an OA couple. We met in OA. Any other OA couples here? Who are happy? Look at them. The hand went down. Oh, you ever hear an OA couple fight? It's hilarious. We were fighting. Oh my God! Anybody like walking outside our house are like, these people should be like wearing like wristbands saying outpatient or something like that. Because it's like all of a sudden it's like we use this. Like, why don't you just go call your sponsor? No, you call your sponsor. No, you call your sponsor. It's like the way we're saying it is like we're saying the F word to each other, you know? It's like, no, you know what? I think you're on step one. No, you're on step one. No, you're on step one because I just put sugar in your food, so fuck you. You did what? Yeah, you heard me. She's laughing, right? She's tiny, but she's wiry. We met in program. She picked me up, by the way. Yeah, I was the victim. And thought I'd teach her a lesson. Oh, okay, you want to date me? I'll marry you. I'll teach you. So here we are. What? We just celebrated our 9-year wedding anniversary. All right. And we have 2 babies, 4 and 7. We call them our little OA babies. And nothing will challenge her program more than being abstinent and having 2 babies. It really does. Well, 3 babies. And, because her name is Kit. And it's incredible to be here tonight, being up here with a 215-pound weight loss. And when I came in these rooms 16 years ago, I was working for someone, like it talks about in the big book. I was always a great earner, but never knew where the money went. It always went on food. I mean, if I looked at my Visa charge accounts and stuff like that, I binged at the places that had rated D outside the restaurant. I binged at places where rated A and everything in between, from 5-star restaurants to you know, the half-a-star restaurant. And it didn't matter because it was always about the food. Didn't matter what I was eating, I had to keep piling it down to fill that hole inside of me, that void. You know what I mean, that void. And no matter how many times I kept trying to eat and eat and eat, it never got filled. And I never believed in God, never believed in a higher power. I found these things in these rooms. Found so many things. And now we're business owners, you know, we're employers. We have kids, we have a home. All the promises have come true. It has come true for me. And yet, because of the wreckage of my past, being a compulsive overeater, I almost lost it all. I am a miracle because I almost died 9 months ago. And don't mean to bum you guys out, but I can only share honesty in my experience. Because I used to go up and down on my weight from 400 to 200 to 185 and to everything in between, you can see the damage you do to yourself on the outside. You know, alcoholics, when you get drunk, you know you're drunk. You know, when you're compulsively overeating, you don't see how you're putting on the weight because you see yourself in the mirror every day. It just, all of a sudden, you look in the mirror one day, you're like, what the hell happened? I'm fat. And that's the word. That's the real word. I was fat. I was obese. I was not pleasantly plumped. I was not big boned. I was fat. Trying to find all these excuses saying, oh, I'll start my food plan tomorrow. I call them the Mondays. I'll start it next Monday. Gave me permission to eat everything I want to eat that week. Just so I can get to that Monday. Okay, here we go. And I have this extra bite. Oh, you know what? Screw it. I'll just do it again and then next Monday. So I'm here to tell you there is no such thing as the Mondays. Today, it's Friday, it's the 51st anniversary of OA. Today is Monday. Today we start our program. And as I was saying, 9 months ago I almost died because of going up and down in my weight size. What happened was our little girl Ashley, who's 4, at the time she was 3, came into our bed because she had a nightmare. And when you have little kids, you don't have options. They're coming in. If you want them to come in or not, they're coming in. I love our kids, but damn, they are the worst roommates I've ever had. They're leaving the toilet seat up. She's leaving the toilet seat up. I don't know what's going on anymore. But I was sleeping with Ashley, and you know, when one sleeps with one kid, the other one has to run to the other bedroom and sleep with the other, so the other one doesn't feel neglected. And so I was sleeping with Ashley. We were cuddling. And all of a sudden, at 3 o'clock in the morning, I started getting this real bad chest pain. And it got worse and worse. And I thought maybe it was heartburn or something like that. And then it started really hurting. Then my neck was radiating this pain going out my neck into my jaw. And I couldn't talk. And I was talking like this. And all I kept yelling out was to my wife, kid. And she runs in, what is it? What is it? Go call 911. Call 911. That's all I could say. And then she said, Ben, sit down. Sit down in the chair. And we live in Simi Valley. And everything away from Simi Valley is literally 2 minutes. It's a great town to live and raise the kids. And the ambulance came. It was like, I don't know how many people were there, 5 or 10 people. And they checked me out, and they're going, okay, we got to get him to the hospital right now, ASAP. They get me to the hospital, and there's a guy, and I'm going to say doctor's names because it's important to know who are the doctors out there who saved my life. A man by the name of Dr. Yu over at the Simi Valley Hospital, they put me through that, that David Banner scanner thing from The Incredible Hulk, you know, that big white donut. I can always relate to things as food items, you know. I'm like, oh, God, I'm dying. I'm going through the big white donut. You know, there's irony, right? You know, I'm looking around. I want sprinkles. Sprinkles. And then I come out, and then he comes back to me. He goes, you have an aortic dissection. And the aorta goes from your heart all the way down to your leg. Now, for those of you who remember a great man named John Ritter, that's how he died. He was misdiagnosed. That's why he died. I was diagnosed correctly. So from Simi Valley Hospital, they had to rush me to Oxnard Hospital. The clock was ticking. I had 1 hour to live. I had 1 hour to live. And they rushed me there. And as I was in the ambulance, the paramedics were there. They were putting needles in me. And they were looking at me, timing me, and then they were very quiet. And I go, am I going to make it to the hospital? And they go, we don't know. But if you go, you're going to go very fast. I go, am I going to feel anything? They go, no, you won't. Very surreal. Knowing that behind the ambulance is my wife going insane, crazy, you know, what's going on inside that ambulance. So they get us to the hospital. The surgeon, Dr. Bruce Toporoff, had his medical team waiting. And everybody was ready to just, as soon as I got in, to cut me open and get me going fast. But I had a 50-50 chance of surviving. And didn't look very well that I would. And there was a priest there, Reverend Jim? That's the guy from Taxi. The Reverend, I think it was Reverend Jim. He gave me last rites. Now, at the time I was 45, I'm 46 now. To be given last rites is so surreal. You wouldn't believe it. It was like I thought I was in the scene of MASH or something like that. I was holding his hand. I was holding my wife's hand. She was holding his hand. It was a circle, and he was welcoming me into the arms of God. Forgive him of all his past sins. I'm like, oh, God, please forgive me of my past sins. You know, and they were saying, does it matter if it's a priest or rabbi? I go, no, get me that, you know, fast pass right now for people who have kids and take them to Disneyland. And so he gave me my last rites, very surreal. Next thing I know, more pain. I'm like, knock me out, just knock me out. And then they operated on me. My first surgery took 8 hours. I had a 50-50 chance, but as soon as they cracked me open, which is your skin, they put that metal device, they crack it open, they open you up. They told my wife and my sister I had an 18% chance of surviving the surgery. 18% chance. I'm alive today to tell you the story. Monday is today. There are no more Mondays. So I survived the first surgery. I was on 24-hour watch because even though I had the surgery, there was no guarantee I was going to live. So I was on 24-hour watch. And I remember I had so much morphine in me and I was so doped up. I remember, you know, barely, you know, just opening my eyes and focusing in and out, and, you know, and it seemed like a white gaze. I'm like, oh, crap, is that the white light they talk about? You know, before you know, I'm thinking, I'm like, oh, wow, you know, thank God it's a white light and not fire and brimstone and, you know, signs of Sarah Palin, you know, 2014 all around. The opinions expressed are of myself and not of OA as a whole. And little subtitles will be across right here. Do we have the budget for that? No? Oh, what does this pay, by the way? Service. Okay, I'll try it. And when I remember waking up, I go, am I alive or am I dead? And she goes, no, you're alive. And I'm like, okay. And then I went out. And then I was in the hospital for about a week and a half in Oxnard. And I came home for about 2-3 days, and it was really hard to breathe. Really hard. I mean, like, and just doing that, you wouldn't believe how much that hurts when you had your chest cracked open. You know, because they glued me up. They used some type of super glue to glue me up. And we went to our cardiologist, Dr. Papa Nicolau, and that was his name. And he looked at me and he says, "There's a rupture in your heart valve. You suffered something from the first attack. We have to take you to the hospital right now and get this." And so then I went to the hospital, Los Robles. This is like only 2 or 3 days of being home, and they had to crack my chest open again. Second open heart surgery. And oh my God, my wife was nervous. I was nervous. She goes, "Ben, what can I do to relax you?" I don't know if I'm going to live the second surgery. If I'm going to get laid, I want to get laid now. You are on my food plan, you know that. Anyways, I don't call it into my sponsor. By the way, no kids here, right? Good. All right, so we are not a glum lot, right?
No.
Recovery is fun, it's great, and it's downright dirty good. And thank you, kinky people in the front row. And it was just so funny because whenever I get excited, I was hooked up to the heart thing, my heart monitor started going up. And the nurse would run in, and my wife was, you know, and she would go, "Is everything okay?" "No, we're fine. And it was just hilarious. I don't know why I'm sharing that, but this is probably the last time you're ever going to see me because my wife is going to kill me. So it was nice knowing you all. And don't hurt me too much. And so the second heart surgery, they had to put an artificial valve, and they go, "You have a choice. You want a pig valve?" I'm like, "No, I don't have pork on my food plan." So I had the mechanical one, which will outlive me, and it's wild because, you know, if you want, after here, come up, feel my chest, you're going to feel it. That's what it's like. I heard the ticking the first 48 hours. They say the ticking will go away. It drives you nuts. Felt like there's a Timex watch in my ear. But, yeah, it has gone away, the ticking sound, but the thumping doesn't go away because in that second, well, the first surgery, they had to cut away what's called the pericardium. And that's your skin buffer between your skeleton and your heart, so you don't feel the pounding. So I don't have that. But here's the miracle thing about the human body. It grows back. It takes about a year, but it doesn't completely seal. It forms a scab, and that scab will act as a buffer. So I'm feeling it right now. It wakes me up when I go to sleep. I'm always up, coincidentally, 3 a.m. when I had my first attack. It's really weird. It's like the internal clock. And I remember just laying there in the hospital, you know, and thinking to myself, if I survive this, the thing I got to carry the message to everybody in the program is there are no more Mondays. I've never thought I would look like this. I never thought I'd be 185. I thought I'd be 400 forever. I never thought I would find the woman of my dreams, you know, that I'd be married to my best friend and have babies and a home and my own business. I never thought that. What I really wanted 16 years ago before I found program was to eat compulsively and die in my sleep. Have you thought of that? Just want to die in your sleep? That's what I wanted. I thought I'd be painless, and that's that. But my God, higher power, decided not to be painless. So if you ever think it's going to be like that, I guarantee it's not. Dying is very painful. Dying is something you never want to experience. Given last rites, when all you can think about is, oh my God, someone else is going to walk my daughter down the aisle and she gets married one day. It's not going to be me. It's going to be a friend or an uncle. You don't want that. Oh my God, I met the woman of my dreams and I don't get to grow old with her. Everything I ever wanted, I got, and I lost it because of the wreckage of my past. So I survived the second surgery. A week and a half later, I'm in the hospital. All of a sudden, I had complications. Things were happening inside my body. I couldn't tell you. Painful. And what happened was my heart was flooding with its own blood, and it was constricting from beating itself. Think about that. Think about what I'm sharing before you want to go for that next bite or that extra dessert or, oh, it's just one more bag of this. I can tell you, I have eaten everything there is to eat out there. There's nothing new they can invent at Carl's or McDonald's or something like that for me to go, I got to try that. I have eaten everything there is to eat, and it all tastes the same. But nothing tastes as good as abstinence. Nothing tastes as good as leaving a table full and not stuffed. I have not left a dining table going, I remember doing that a lot. Even those pants I was wearing were so stretched, we were talking about it last night, that when I took the pants off, I had the indentations on my skin because they were so tight. And always having to pick them up over my belly, always having to adjust myself, never had to wear a belt. Never had to wear my shirt tucked in, because I thought if I wore my shirt on the outside, you wouldn't know I was 400 pounds. I don't know. I never knew how that happened. I mean, as a child, as a teenager in my early 20s, I was always a normal size, you know? It's when I started working on the road. I used to be a stand-up comic and exotic dancer at the Braille Institute. And, oh, he's Jewish. And we got that on tape? Okay. Is the tape, A-track, CD, what it is? Okay. Anyways, Jeff is back there going, oh, Christ, I picked the wrong guy. We are not a glum lot. And so there I was in my third surgery, and when I woke up, it was the worst out of all the three, because I woke up, I had to wake up with a breathing apparatus in my mouth, the tube all the way down into my stomach. I couldn't even move my neck because it was such a thick tube. I couldn't even move. Couldn't talk. I had the thing in my nose. All I could look at was the clock and the seconds going by, saying that it's going to be 3 more hours. You know, I think they knocked me out, an extra day. Every time I woke up, it was a day later than I thought it was because I needed to sleep from that recovery. So I'm missing 3 days of my life. And it's weird to wake up and have missing days. And my memory was horrible. You know, I couldn't remember anything. Right now I'm on 20 medications a day. 10 in the morning, 10 at night. To stay alive today. That's because of the Monday. That's because of the extra bite. So think about that next time. Something I always tell my sponsees is write how much you love your children or your wife or that significant other in your life. And put it in your back pocket. And next time you feel or think you have to have that bite of something, read that letter first. But the thing is, I don't have that. I just get to feel this heart keep beating and the pain I go through every day. I still go through major pain every day. I get these attacks, spasm attacks, because my nerve endings are still reconnecting. You know, it's been 9 months ago, but they had to open me up 3 times. I said what they did to me in at 3 weeks of time is normally what happens to somebody over a massive, couple of years of surgery, and they had to do them to me in 3 weeks. So sometimes after a meeting, before a meeting, I'd have these spasms, and I'd have to cool off and not go to the pain pill. I can't use pain pills because I'm on blood thinner for my artificial heart valve. So, you know, I might look normal now to you on the outside, but on the inside, there's a lot of wreckage of my past. But God saw fit. It wasn't my time yet. Maybe I'll die tonight. Maybe I'll die tomorrow. I don't know. You know, my doctor gave me, I had an echo test a few days ago, and my Coumadin level, my iron R test is positive, and he says you'll have another 40 years. I'll have another 40 years. But I guarantee you, Just one person likes me.
Do it. Die. Do it.
But I guarantee you, nothing tastes better than life, knowing what it's like to die. Nothing tastes better than that. You can make the choice today. If you don't have a food plan, get a food plan. I love Roseanne. Roseanne is incredible. Irony, Roseanne, what did she give us for our wedding gift? A bread bin. She's got a great sense of humor. Something food related, but it was really nice. I don't eat bread, but it was really nice. And half the people in our wedding were OA friends. And we both had permission 9 years ago from our sponsors to have one bite of the wedding cake. And as soon as we cut the cake, half the room left. Those were our OA friends. And we each had our bite, and then they peeked at it, and then the other half came back. The other family members were like, what the hell just happened? Is this okay to eat? Is this something we should know? Life has a sense of humor. You got to find the humor in it. Don't take yourself so seriously. God knows I don't. There's humor in everything. There's humor in recovery. There's humor in being honest and starting day one. There's honesty. Remember, if you think you're abstinent and you're sponsoring yourself, you're screwed. Because I did sponsor myself my first few months in program. Ben, can I eat this? Sure, it's on your food plan. Thank you. You know, and then I got it, and I lost the weight, and I gained it back, lost the weight, had many birthdays, lost a lot of birthdays, started from day one and over. And every time I had to start over again, what the hell, was that my heart thing? Okay. What the... See, what I heard that noise, like, what? I was the only one who heard that, or did you guys hear that too? Once again, I'm on 20 medications, guys. What? No. Anyways, some of them are good medications. I got to tell you that right now because I'm seeing a lot of blue. So I survived the 3 open hearts, and when I woke up the third time, I was talking about waking up with a tube inside me and all that. And they had to keep removing things from me to get me forced to breathe. And I had tubes inside my body that were not just in me, but they were sewn into my organs, into my heart, into my flesh. They were sewn in. Not worth the food, people. Not worth the food. You know, I want to be smart and funny to you guys, but I want to be truthful too. That bite was not worth anything. And when you think you're just hurting yourself, you're affecting the people in your life, your friends, your loved ones, your kids. I didn't get to see my kids for a month. Only got to talk to them on the phone because they were too young to come to the hospital. It's horrible. When I came back, they looked at me like, you look familiar. They're 4 and 7. I spent my birthday in the hospital the day before my third and last surgery. I had to learn how to re-walk again. I had to learn how to walk again because I had to take veins from here and there to put it up here. I had to learn how to stand up straight. Doing this, you won't believe how hard it is to do this when you have your chest cracked open once, twice, three times. You know, I was walking so slow, and a huge part of my recovery was the sacrifice and pain my wife went through getting me better. So thank you for being such a strong friend and an incredible example of program. Thank you, Kit. I'm a lucky guy. I got everything I want. I'm not going to lose it over one more bite again, ever again, because I used up all my 9 lives. There are none left. If anything happened tonight, I hope you please remember what happened to me, because I never, never want to see this happen to anyone. Go through what I went through. I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. I mean, when you go to a bar for the alcoholics and you get drunk, a bartender cuts you off. You know, I think that's enough. Too bad we don't have waiters who do that in restaurants. Wouldn't that be great? Sir, I'm sorry. No, you've had too much to eat. We're going to have to cut you off. Oh, I want more. I was like that guy from the Monty Python, meaning alive. Oh, give me another. You know, it's like, that. You know, sir, do you want us to call you a cab? No, I'm fine. Only we had someone like that for people like us. But we do, and they're called our sponsors. Call your sponsors today. Are there sponsors in the room? Are there sponsees in the room? Then we're all going to be around for the 52nd birthday. A round of applause for yourself. I never thought I'd be speaking at an OA birthday party in a hotel. I never thought I'd be in a convention about overeating. Last time I was in a hotel for a convention was a Star Trek convention. And that, to me, made more sense of where I'm at today. But I'm happier today. I feel great on the inside. I feel great on the outside. It feels wonderful to have life again. Really, it does. Everything I have, you can have too, and you can have a lot more, and you don't have to go through what I went through. One day at a time, one meal at a time, and keep coming back. Thank you.
Ben's next appearance will be on the TV show Scared Straight. Not like that, Sean, don't worry. All right, couple things, if I may. Couple housekeeping things, and then we will we'll really be entertained. Sorry, Ben, I didn't mean it that way either. But all right, first of all, I'd like to, if you'll indulge me for 30 seconds, as many of you know, especially those of you from LA, I'm relatively new in the program. I've been very blessed with a strong sponsor and a strong program and weight loss and a lot of friends. But I'm relatively new, and I was asked to chair the birthday party based on the fact that I was lucky enough to have organized the volunteers for last year's birthday party. But I really didn't know a whole lot about how to do this. And there's been one person in particular, and John, don't be insulted. John Kay, don't be insulted by this because you helped a tremendous amount too. But there's been one person who really has taken me by the hand and led me through this process. And I just wanted to extend to Shari my personal thanks for everything you've done, because honest to goodness, if it was not for Shari, none of this would be here, including me. And I really think that, you know, I mean, we've all done our part, and everyone on the committee has done a tremendous job, but Shari is head and shoulders and kept me on the right road when need be. So I wanted to thank you for that. Also, Victor yelled at me before. Victor, could you stand up, please? This is Victor, who is our volunteer chair. Victor's done a great job. And if history repeats itself, Victor will be up here next year.